Putting officer, it's important we look at the facts.
Why? Why?
Douglas Ross is sounding pretty scared.
Because I believe in independence.
And he clapped like a seal.
Hello and welcome to another Planet Holyrood. I'm Paul Hutchin, political editor of the Daily Record. Joining me this week are fellow pundits. We've got John Ferguson, who's the political editor of the Sunday Mail. And we've got Douglas Dickey of the Scottish Daily Express. So let's kick off. You know, you're in a general election year when people lose their minds over relatively minor stories. This week was no different. So let's just rewind a few days. The First Minister and SNP leader, Hamza Yousaf, he tried to claim that the election in Scotland would be a two-horse race between the SNP and the Tories. This is despite polling evidence that shows that Labour are resurgent and may take dozens of seats off the Scottish National Party. But then Hamza went one step further and called for voters to make Scotland Tory-free. Now, some folk on the right have interpreted this as relating to voters, making Scotland free of Tory voters. Others believe, as I do, that it was a reference to making Scotland free of Tory members of Parliament. Starting with you, John, I mean, what was your interpretation of that phrase, which seems to have got a lot of traction in newsprint and also online?
I think you're right. He was clearly talking about Tory MPs. And it's, to be honest, I thought the reaction to it was a bit odd. Like, I can see why the Tories might have been really upset. I was a bit more surprised with the criticism from within the SNP. I mean, okay, it might be slightly inflammatory language, but I've heard a lot worse. I mean, to be honest, the two things that he said didn't really seem to go together. I don't see how the election can be both a two-horse race between the Tories and the SNP, if there's also a realistic prospect of the Tories getting no MPs at all. I thought he was clearly talking about MPs, and it's just quite odd to see one of his own party's MPs and a former special advisor feeling the need to bail in and criticise him over it.
Dougie, I mean, if you look at politics from a centre-left perspective, wanting to make Scotland free of Tory MPs, that's quite a noble, worthwhile aim, isn't it?
I think the message, make Scotland free of Tory MPs, is perfectly legitimate election campaign. But I'm going to disagree with yourself and John. I think he was pretty clear that that's not what he was talking about. I think his speech made it quite obvious that he wanted to go further than that. I mean, he spoke about getting rid of Tory values, for example. Now, you know, when we talk about, you know, what are Tory values, you know, just summing them off the top of the head, free market, belief in law and order, personal freedom and personal choice, unionism, for example. These are all Tory values, which are perfectly mainstream. And I don't really understand why the First Minister thought it would be a good idea to, say that he wants to completely rid Scotland of this. And of course, he let the cat out of the bag immediately after that when he spoke about it doesn't matter if these Tory values are coming from a blue rosette or a red rosette. What he really means is anyone who disagrees with him and the SNP. So I think he made it pretty clear in his speech that he wasn't just talking about MPs. Of course, you know, every party wants to win every seat in an election. So by, you know, the very nature of a general election means you want to make the country free of MPs from your opposition. But by going that step further, I mean, he did say, I'm not just talking about Tory politicians. So, you know, we've got to take him at his word and assume that he meant, you know, Tories of different, you know, kind of levels, be it politicians or whatever. I'll answer John's John's question or John's point about Pete Wishart, I'm not surprised that Pete Wishart distanced himself from it or made a deal about it, because Pete Wishart realises that, you know, rural Perthshire isn't exactly a hotbed of left-wing liberalism. The vast majority of people who put Pete Wishart in Westminster probably share these Tory values that Humza Yousaf is talking about getting rid of. There's people in his party who, other than nationalism, other than believing in an independent Scotland, would probably, in any other kind of parallel universe, be members of the Conservative Party. So I think that's why Pete Wishart done it. Of course, he'd already used the term a few weeks ago, a week before. But I think ultimately Pete Wishart means free of Tory MPs. The term itself, Tory free, I think is fine if you interpret it as Tory MP, but I felt Humza Yousaf was pretty clear that, that wasn't just what he was talking about.
John, what do you make of the slightly weird framing of the election by the SNP, which is to kind of ignore the opinion polls, which show that Labour might get about 25 seats, and pretend this is a two-horse race between the Nationalists and the Conservative Party?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they want to remind people that actually there could, for the first time in a good while, be a genuine alternative that's not the aforementioned Tories. I think that they really don't want voters to be too alive to the idea that in this election you're actually going to be able to vote for the Labour Party and actually get a Labour government. That's the kind of biggest danger to the SNP, isn't it? One of their great strengths is the fact that they can point to not just one election or two elections, but literally decades of Scotland en masse voting for a party that they don't get in government. And it's a kind of existential threat to them that we're now entering a period of UK politics where you can vote for the Labour Party and you're probably going to get a Labour government. I think if they were being grown up about this, they would be talking about what potential deal they might be able to do with an incoming Labour government. Mm.
Dougie, I mean, I just can't see this SNP Tory line holding in places like Airdrie, Glasgow, where it's clearly a battle between the SNP and Labour. It seems like it's a message for the northeast of Scotland, but somehow it's been, you know, they've put it all across Scotland for some reason.
Well, I think Humza actually used the term from the borders to Aberdeenshire. I think he might need to get his map of Scotland out if he thinks that covers the entire country, because obviously he's got no issue with Dumfries and Galloway and the Highlands not being Tory free. But I mean, I think you're absolutely right. They realise the kind of northeast, east of the country is going to be a key battleground for them. John makes the point that the SNP have enjoyed success with the message that Scotland doesn't always get the government it votes for, but in the same breath they lump Labour and the Tories in together. They say that there's no difference between them. So using that kind of metric, Scotland pretty much always gets the government it votes for. So it just seems like a really strange tactic to frame it in that way when reality in front of them just completely contradicts it. And I think
Dougie, do you think it speaks to sort of wider confusion in their strategy? You know, they've been scrabbling around for a line on independence. You know, is it a majority of seats? Is it most seats? Now they're trying to frame it as SNP versus Tories. They just seem to be road testing quite a lot of dodgy theories.
Yeah, and of course, regardless of what we think he meant by Tory free, I mean, that message has already been completely dismantled by Pete Wishart. You know, you've got one of his highest profile MPs, the longest serving SNP politician at Westminster, saying he's not going to use the SNP's key message. And it's just all over the place right now. And as you say, it just seems to me that since, you know, Nicola Sturgeon always had a clear strategy, you might not agree with it, but she always set out a pretty clear agenda. Humza Yousaf seems incapable of doing that. He seems to be just throwing enough mud at the, you know, and hope that something will stick, that something will get through. And a lot of the time as well, it feels like he's only talking to that kind of core, maybe 30% of Scots who are probably going to vote SNP regardless, the kind of 20% who think that independence is the most important issue in this election. And he doesn't seem to be doing very much to kind of persuade others that actually having SNP MPs at Westminster is a good thing. It's a complete mess, to be honest.
John, let's just move on to a slightly better story for the SNP. The council tax freeze wars seem to be over. If you remember at the last SNP conference last year, Humza said he wanted a national council tax freeze, pretty much a freeze in every local authority in Scotland. There've been some teething problems with this, although up until about 2 weeks ago, 30 of the 32 local authorities decided to back a freeze. There were two holdouts, Argyll and Bute, and also Inverclyde. But what happened this week was Argyll and Bute decided to freeze council tax. Inverclyde effectively backed a council tax freeze in an orthodox way. So whatever you think about this policy, and the Daily Record has been clear, we think it's a bad, bad policy. Humza Yousaf has delivered what he said he was going to deliver. And although it's going to put huge pressure on local services, it's a popular one. So from his perspective, he'll be happy with it.
I mean, it does look like he's managed to resolve this problem of the two councils that were refusing to go along with the policy, but it looks like he's managed to resolve that by effectively paying them off. It seems to be that some meetings were held and a few extra millions were found to put into those councils to get them to comply. So, you know, while he has for now dealt with that, it does feel like a quite unsatisfactory way of getting there. I would imagine there's a few of the other councils who have said that they were willing to do the freeze who will now be looking and thinking, maybe we should have held out and played hardball. I wouldn't fancy the chances of getting another council tax freeze through next year, given that they've now shown that, you know, just like in a lot of the public sector wage negotiations, that they're willing to bend and open up the coffers in order to get something over the line. So it feels like quite a short-term policy. This now, people already feel their council tax is pretty high, but there's clearly a huge gap in funding for loads of services people need. I think that they'll get away with this freeze for this year, and next year we'll probably see all of the councils going for, you know, really quite significant increases.
I also think, John, as well, you can see Argyll and Bute and Inverclyde have probably shown the others how to do it. So if the Scottish Government announces a freeze, then what you do is actually vote for a rise in the hope of trying to get a bit more cash at the 11th hour. So both have been pretty shrewd, I think. Although, Dougie, if you look at it in crude political terms, this is a win for Humza Yousaf. It's probably his first big win as First Minister, isn't it?
I think he'll be pretty relieved, yeah. He obviously announced this at SNP conference. He kind of hung his reputation on it a bit, or, you know, what's left of that reputation. But the whole process to get to this point has been a complete mess. It's been a complete, riding roughshod over local government. Argyll and Bute especially, I think, have played a blinder on it. But ultimately, you know, Humza Yousaf vowed in October that your council tax will be frozen, and now Humza Yousaf will be able to go to the country and say your council tax is frozen unless you stay in Inverclyde, but you'll get, you know, a rebate next year. So I think John makes a point about next year. I don't think there's any chance of being a council tax freeze next year, because next year isn't an election year. So I don't think that's an issue. I think they've already kind of said that, you know, the tax is going to go up. We spoke about, you know, a pre-election bribe a few weeks ago in terms of national insurance cut from the UK government. I think this has been a pre-election bribe from the SNP. And given how... I don't think it's an incredible win for him. I think he pretty much left councils, you know, very little choice. If your neighbour down the street in a different council is getting their council tax frozen and you're not, it's obviously going to upset people. But I think the method by which we got here again was, you know, a complete mess and just highlights a government that will make bold promises without really thinking them through.
Dougie, I've seen already this week the SNP have got their digital ads saying a national...
Not on Facebook, please. Obviously.
Yeah, well, not on Facebook, no. Maybe more of which later. But I mean, do you think that... Will this shift any votes from the general election? Will it firm up their core support? What do you think?
I think it's an awkward one, because ultimately your councils... Your Labour councils and your Tory councils and your Lib Dem councils can turn around and say, well, it's us who've frozen your council tax. You know, we could have put it up ultimately. So I'm not sure it'll be the election winner. Council tax is such a strange one, because ultimately what the vast majority of people want is for council tax to be scrapped and replaced with something else. I think that would be a real popular move. So ultimately the council tax is such an unpopular tax as it is. I think a lot of people are probably sitting there saying, well, it should be, you know, the freezing it is the bare minimum. And obviously, after the election, I think we're going to see the ramifications of this decision this year and next year's budgets. So, you know, yeah, it will shore up his vote, but I don't see it changing too many people's minds.
I think you have to remember as well that everybody's council tax bill is actually going to go up because the water charges are going to go up. Mm. So it will kind of look like a broken promise to anyone that's so hung up on it to actually check their bill. And like you say, it would be different if this was part of a policy from the Conservatives, where you know that their whole raison d'etre is cutting tax, but I think everybody knows that the SNP don't really want to cut tax. It was just something that they felt might get them some votes. So it's difficult to see it having a long-lasting impact.
You could say Humza Yousaf's espousing Tory values by announcing this tax cut. So perhaps he wants to make himself, you know, Humza free.
I mean, it is a Tory policy. I mean, if you ideologically, holding down council tax disproportionately benefits the wealthy, people in bigger houses... It's not a left-wing policy, this, at all. It's got much more in common with Tory ideology than socialist thinking. So, you know, we'll see how this one pans out. Talking of Tory ideology, John, Labour Shadow Chancellor Rachel Reeves was in the papers quite a lot this week over making various positive noises about Mrs. Thatcher, maybe not about individual policies, but more about her transformative impact on UK politics. To be fair, it's a point that's been made before.
Keir Starmer.
Keir Starmer, Tony Blair in the 90s as well. I think Salmond even said some relatively nice things about Thatcher. I can't remember exactly what, but it caused a bit of a stink. Do people care anymore about this? I mean, is it going to turn some Labour voters off? Are they going to say, oh, well, I was going to vote Labour, but until I heard what Rachel Reeves said, now I'm not going to do it?
It's difficult to... No, I mean, it's testament to this incredible sort of hold over British politics that Margaret Thatcher still has. I think it's quite interesting to... If you I sometimes think that the politicians who were hated the most at the time, sometimes history is a bit kinder to them than the ones who are very popular in their leadership. You know, like Tony Blair was very popular, and he's now at the time, and he's now viewed with quite a bit of suspicion. Margaret Thatcher, despite the fact that certainly in Scotland, despite like the community I grew up in, was pretty universally hated, I think she's now kind of viewed as a historical figure who it's I think the what's going on here is that the Labour Party are targeting Middle England soft Tory votes, and they think that those are people who basically think Margaret Thatcher did a lot of good things for the country, and if Labour can understand that, then they could be worth a vote, because the current Tory party is in such disarray. Whether, like, I don't know, if the kind of harder left faction of the Labour Party, I suspect they might have lost those voters already. Might not.
I think my reading of it is
again mining communities and things like that. There is still a huge amount of animosity for Margaret Thatcher. So,
yeah, I'm not going to downplay that at all. I think my reading of it is that I think Labour see themselves, Dougie, 20 points ahead. So they've clearly turned a lot of Tory voters into their column, and it's maybe about holding on to some of those voters, sending them a signal that you know, there will be greater fairness under Labour government, but the fundamentals of the market economy will probably remain intact.
Yeah.
I think so. It was interesting actually reading exactly what she said, because the headlines were very much, you know, Rachel Reeves.
Always a good place to start, I must say, Dougie, definitely.
The headlines and obviously the SNP's response up here has been very much, you know, Rachel Reeves praises Margaret Thatcher. She doesn't. She talks about the situation that Britain was facing in the 70s, being similar to the, you know, the situation we're facing now. And she talks about how, you know, Thatcher was transformative. She actually criticises Thatcher's policies. And I don't think anyone can really have an issue with that. What I would say is maybe Labour should just never speak about her, because it always seems to end up with these headlines, regardless of what's actually said. But they obviously feel, especially down south, again, it's so easy to see this through the prism of Scottish politics, that, oh, you know, that's not going to play well in, you know, North Lanarkshire. But the truth is, you know, there are vast swathes of the UK, and it is a UK election where Margaret Thatcher was really popular. So I think it is to, you know, to show that up. But, you know, she's been so careful with what she said, and I just kind of feel like maybe they just shouldn't bring her up anymore, because it just never seems to end well for Labour. It always seems to end up. And, of course, Stephen Flynn, you know, had a cracking gag in the Commons yesterday about it, which, you know, probably hit home quite well. I find the SNP's anger at this quite ironic, given they every year they pay tribute to a guy in the Commons who wanted Germany to win the Second World War. But it appears that, you know, they've picked Margaret Thatcher as a bogey person. But I just think it's Labour trying to make themselves electable to Middle England, where, you know, one of the places you need to win, along with the likes of, you know, these kind of Scottish heartlands. And if you actually look at what she said, I don't think there was much in it. But, you know, I can understand why the SNP and, you know, some of the left of the Labour, Owen Jones probably isn't happy, but we'll come to him later as well. I can understand why, you know, it's kind of manna from heaven for the SNP to kind of pick them up in that.
I do think it's a generational thing as well, John.
Yeah, they know what they're doing when they mention, or, you know, it doesn't happen by accident when Starmer or Rachel Reeves mentions Margaret Thatcher and said, well, she wasn't all bad, I suppose. It's that it is such an emotive topic.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's very unpopular amongst a specific age group and cohort. Like, you know, people in their 20s, I think, won't, you know, she'll just be a historical figure. I'm in the sort of 45 to 50 age group, and she was before my time, you know. I know it's hard to believe, you know.
But, no, she's like, not. Was...
But, you know something, I kind of... I dislike David Cameron more than Mrs. Thatcher. I just, I don't know what it is. Maybe because he was more of my generation, you know, and you know, I was covering politics and all the rest of it. But, you know, I associate him with Brexit, with welfare, whereas I just see Thatcher as someone from the past. I know she had a deep impact on a lot of people's lives, but I'm just not convinced that Labour politicians talking about it makes a blind bit of difference. But that's me. We're going to talk about Operation Branch Form, but I think that we're running out of time because there isn't really a major update on that, sadly. So let's just go straight to Good Week, Bad Week. Start with you, John.
Hey, so I'm going to say it's a good week for all the comedians out there. After Police Scotland... moved swiftly to quash a story in one of our competitor titles that suggested that they were gearing up to target performers with the new hate crime legislation that's coming into force. The Police Scotland were keen to say that isn't the case. However, within that statement, they did say we'll investigate all complaints that are made, which, so moving seamlessly on, I'll say it's actually been quite a bad week for Police Scotland because they are now going to need to decide exactly how they're going to deal with potential complaints relating to this piece of legislation that some legal experts have said that really what you're dealing with here is something where it's going to be down to their discretion whether they're going to pursue people like Ricky Gervais, who's been criticised over some of the things he said about trans people, if he were to be performing in Scotland. So I was to say, well, I think that was hateful. You know, the police are now going to have to make decisions on whether issues like that are actually in breach of the law. So, I think we're going to hear a lot more about this one.
It was such a strange statement to put out because he pretty much confirmed that they could target. I mean, I think it was the word target, wasn't it? You know, you're not going to get cops going into comedy clubs, sitting in the front row waiting for someone to say something offensive. But they pretty much said, yeah, comedians could be... potentially convicted under this legislation. I just thought it was such a strange quote if a Police Scotland had put out.
Yeah, but the issue is, isn't it, that if someone who goes to a comedy club makes a complaint about something that someone says, then police are potentially going to find themselves in a situation where they're going to have to go seeking a recording of a particular segment of a performance and listening back to it, consulting Crown Office, asking, is this potentially breach of the legislation? So I can't imagine the Police Federation are particularly happy about it.
No, they're not. How about you, Douglas? Good week, bad week?
So I'll start with my good week. Regular viewers will know I'm not exactly a massive fan of Sir Keir Starmer, but I think he'll be... popping open the champagne today with the news that well-known, and I use that term loosely, left-wing journalist Owen Jones has quit the Labour Party. I was a little bit reluctant to give him the oxygen of publicity by bringing him up today, but I think he's exactly the kind of person who Labour are not trying to attract with their Margaret Thatcher comments. He is a man who seems to be wrong about absolutely everything. And I think he asks in his Guardian column saying goodbye, current members have to think about where the Labour Party's going. Well, judging by the polls, the Labour Party's going to Downing Street without him. And I think Sir Keir will be happy to have him off the Labour membership list because he's a complete pest. And for bad week, I'm going to go with the hate monster. So the hate monster was the character created by Police Scotland to, well, I don't really know what it was created for, but it was to highlight hate crimes. Police Scotland are quite insistent that nothing to do with the hate crime legislation. The campaign was launched sometime last year. He's only just came to light this week, but he's already been binned for Police Scotland website. He's been archived. The campaign's been shelved. I mean, for me, that's a hate crime against the hate monster. No wonder he's so angry. No one likes him. And I actually feel quite sorry for him. I hope to see him, maybe he'll go to his cousin, the Honey Monsters, to recuperate for a few days, and hopefully he'll be back on the, back on the straight and narrow soon enough.
Lol. What should I say about Owen Jones? I actually, things that he writes I don't agree with, but, Labour Party should be a broad church. I do agree with you, though, Douglas. I think Keir Starmer is probably quite happy when people of the left, like Owen, tear up their membership cards because they're clearly pitching to the centre. And I think that's where the Labour Party is just now. You're right, they're heading towards Downing Street.
I think that he won't be particularly happy, to be honest, about seeing him tearing up his card because he's an influential guy. He's got millions of people following him on social media, listening to his videos, and I think it'll have an impact on a lot of young voters.
He's got an extraordinary reach. He does, his reach is
one of those people I'm not quite sure why it is that I'm supposed to not like him. Seems to be a genuinely academic guy that says a lot of interesting and good stuff.
I think he winds up some of the more conservative members of the community.
I think he winds up people on the left as well. if they're not kind of far left. I'm sure we'll read all about why, his discussion in his national column soon, now that he's the SNP's new best friend. So, but the truth is, we're talking about his influence and his reach amongst the young. Ultimately, it's going to come down to a choice between a Conservative government and a Labour government. Owen Jones is the type of guy who I think is happier in opposition. That kind of Corbynite view that they would rather be on the outside rallying against the establishment rather than being inside and being actually able to impact on people's lives. I just think he is everything that's been wrong with the Labour Party in the past, and seeing that kind of faction go, I think reinforces their kind of centrist credentials.
All right. Thank you very much for that. That was another good episode. I enjoyed that. I hope the listeners enjoyed it too. We'll just wrap it up there. And I really hope that you can join us next week on Planet Holyrood. Who knows what we'll be discussing.
It's important we look at the facts.
Why? Why?
Douglas Ross is sounding pretty scared.
I believe in independence.
And he clapped like a seal.